We can't assume that because he's gay, he is going to vote yes to every... And we shouldn't ask of that, not as journalists.
This stuff is beginning to smack of McCarthyism.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The UK Civil Partnerships Bill survives spinster sisters, queer journalists debate the politics of outing, and playful pop, collaborative folk, and romantic faith sprout from the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending November 20th, 2004. Legal registered partnerships carrying some marital benefits will be available in about a year for gay and lesbian couples in the UK following this week's enactment of the government's Civil Partnerships Bill. It was quickly granted royal assent after winning final approval in the House of Lords. The turning point was the Lords' rejection by almost 2-1 of an amendment to open civil partnerships to cohabiting adult blood relatives. In June, 53% of the Lords had supported a similar so-called Spinster Sisters amendment, but last week the House of Commons turned it down by 6-1. Britain's gay and lesbian advocacy group Stonewall hailed the enactment as historic. Its chief executive, Ben Summerskill, said in a statement, "Finally, the House of Lords has recognized that Britain is a tolerant 21st century nation. We're delighted that the House of Lords has rebuffed those peers who indulged in offensive sneering at Britain's gay and lesbian population. For the first time, the front benches of all three major political parties have backed equality for gay people. That represents a hugely positive change."
Britain's first ever legal recognition of same-gender couples includes standing similar to married couples in areas including property and tenancy, social security, pensions, life insurance and employment benefits, and hospital visitation. Registered partners will be legally responsible to provide maintenance for their partners and their partners' children, and can become a legal parent to those children. The delay in the implementation of the new law is to allow for related administrative and legislative changes, including the extension of marital tax benefits to registered partnerships that's expected in the next budget bill. Full equality for state pensions won't become effective until 2010, when other reforms to that system become operative. The new law applies in England, Northern Ireland, and Wales. Scotland's government has indicated it will fast-track adoption of the same legislation there. The European branch of ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, expressed a hope that the UK move will be a positive influence on other nations now debating similar partnerships, including Spain, Hungary, and Ireland.
Ireland's Prime Minister Bertie Ahern joined that debate in a television interview this week, and now all five of the nation's parliamentary political parties' responses appear to support some legal recognition for gay and lesbian couples. The issue has been highlighted by an Irish lesbian couple's lawsuit for recognition of their Canadian marriage by tax authorities. Ahern admitted that marriage equality in largely Catholic Ireland is a long way off, but affirmed his support for fair treatment for same-gender couples. A parliamentary committee has begun a 2-year review of Ireland's family law towards major reforms, including possible redefinition of the terms spouse and couple in the social welfare code. Meanwhile, openly gay independent Senator David Norris is drafting a private members' bill to create civil partnerships. Even the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Dublin, Dr. Diarmuid Martin, seems supportive of legal recognition for unmarried couples in caring relationships, telling the Irish Independent newspaper that, "I have a wide range of relationships in mind. I do not exclude gay relationships, but my main concern is with all relationships where dependencies have come into being."
The European Union will finally have its new executive team in office in the coming week, ending a crisis precipitated by Italy's original nominee. a Catholic apologist with extremely conservative views on marriage. By law, the new European commissioner should have begun their five-year terms on October 1st, but the incoming commission president, José Barroso, was forced to withdraw the slate as the European Parliament was prepared to reject it. Key to that constitutional crisis was the plan for Rocco Buttiglione to serve as justice commissioner when the parliamentary committee vetting him had found him unqualified for the job. One important concern at the prospect of Buttiglione as Europe's chief defender of human rights was his past attempt to remove sexual orientation as a category protected from discrimination under European law.
Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi was ultimately forced to replace Buttiglione, and his new choice was his foreign minister, Franco Frattini. Frattini's testimony this week before the same parliamentary committee strongly supported recognition throughout the European Union for the same-gender couples who marry in two member nations or legally register their relationships in nine others. He promised to take a proactive stance in defending their basic right to freedom of movement, including drafting additional legislation if necessary. The committee had no trouble endorsing his nomination to the justice portfolio. With the substitution of Frattini and some other changes in the lineup, the full European Parliament went on to confirm the new commission, something which had always been rather routine until the Buttiglione controversy.
Norway was the second nation in the world to create legal partnerships for gay and lesbian couples, but it seems it's not ready to become the third to open marriage to them. This week, the Norwegian Parliament declined to amend the existing marriage law to make its language gender neutral. That may get some further consideration in the coming year. The greatest difference between marriage and registered partnerships in Norway is the ability to adopt children as a couple. A poll reported last week found Norwegians split on the question of equal adoption rights, with a little more than 43% on each side.
An Israeli appellate court has issued a precedent-setting decision recognizing a gay man's right to inherit from his longtime partner, even though that nation offers no means to formalize same-gender relationships. The 77-year-old plaintiff, A.M., was seeking ownership of the home he'd shared with his late partner, S.R., for most of 40 years. S.R., who died in 2000, left no will and had no blood relations, so it was the government that stood to take over their apartment. A lower court had rejected A.M.'s application on the grounds that the 1965 inheritance law recognizes only a man and a woman who live a family life in a joint household, yet who are not married to each other. But the Nazareth District Court this week ruled 2-1 that as long as the deceased had not willed the property to anyone else, it rightfully belonged to A.M. The majority believed the intent of the inheritance law was to help couples who could not marry under religious law, and so should include same-gender couples. The ruling also cited the landmark 1994 decision of the Israeli High Court that gay and lesbian partners should receive the same employment benefits as common-law heterosexual partners.
A second Anglican synod in Canada has approved church weddings for gay and lesbian couples, less than a month after the Global Anglican Communion had called for a moratorium on those ceremonies. A large majority of Anglican bishops worldwide maintain that homosexual acts are sinful and that same-gender relationships should not be blessed by clergy or in churches. Last year's agreement by the Vancouver area New Westminster Diocese and its bishop, Michael Ingham, to allow the weddings triggered deep division in the global church, and that was exacerbated when U.S. Anglicans consecrated openly partnered gay Gene Robinson, Bishop of New Hampshire. Last month, an international commission to respond to the split on gay and lesbian issues, appointed by the World Church's First Among Equals, the Archbishop of Canterbury, criticized New Westminster and urged others not to follow its lead. The Canada-wide Anglican Synod also voted this year to delay action on the weddings while affirming the value of gay and lesbian relationships. Yet this week, the Synod of the Niagara Diocese in the province of Ontario green-lighted church blessings for same-gender couples who marry legally by a two-thirds majority. The successful motion included a requirement that the congregations wishing to hold the ceremonies first apply to their bishop to be approved as a blessing community.
But Bishop of Niagara Ralph Spence won't be giving that approval or even consenting to the motion. He told the synod delegates, "I am inwardly torn. I would have personally voted with those in the majority. I grieve with the gay and lesbian community. I'm close to them and understand what my actions mean to them. However, I am the bishop of this entire diocese with a responsibility to the wider church. He overruled the motion while promising it would be reconsidered next year. Meanwhile, one New Westminster parish, St. Hilda's Anglican Church in Seychelles, voted more than 13-1 to go ahead with blessing same-gender couples. Bishop Ingen confirmed his diocese will continue the practice at least until its next synod about 6 months from now.
And finally, November 20th marks the 6th annual Day of Remembrance of Transgender Victims of Hate Murders. Memorial observances are scheduled in more than 100 cities in at least 8 countries: Australia, Canada, France, Israel, Italy, Scotland, New Zealand, and the U.S. Many sexual minority websites are being blacked out in observance. In the past 12 months, at least 21 transgenders were murdered, a dozen in the U.S. and Puerto Rico alone. In the U.S., only one anti-trans murder is known to have been prosecuted as a hate crime this year: the very high-profile San Francisco Bay Area slaying of Gwen Araujo in 2002. The most recent, beaten to death in Southern California in early November, has yet to be identified. The Remembering Our Dead project, founded by Gwendolyn Ann Smith, has documented over 300 anti-trans murders since 1970 and identifies one, two, or three new killings each month. Still more such deaths never reach news media. Each death represents many other serious hate attacks against trans people, who often have reason to fear reporting the assaults to legal authorities. For more information, visit www.rememberingourdead.org.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 20th, 2004. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
The evidence of joy is sometimes shadowed undercover, but we'll bring the music of three captivating queer artists within earshot later in the program.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra.
There was the fall of New Jersey Governor James McGreevy, then speculation about Virginia Congressmember Ed Schrock, and hints about California Congressmember David Dreyer. Such scandalous stories have made the issues of privacy, hypocrisy, and sexual orientation front-page news in the U.S. But is it good journalism to cover a public figure's sexuality because they support anti-queer legislation? Where does outing stop and reporting begin? The Los Angeles chapter of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association recently held a community forum entitled "Politically Speaking, Should Politicians Be Outed by the Media?" They found the answer wasn't an easy one. NLGJA Los Angeles chapter president and This Way Out regular Steve Pride produced this highlights reel.
My name is Christopher Lasada. I'm the vice president of the local chapter of NLGJA. Right next to me is Michael Linder. He's currently a reporter for KNX 1070 News Radio in Los Angeles. Linder is the creator of America's Most Wanted, which is now in its 17th season on the air. Next to him is Sean Smith. He is a senior writer for Newsweek and covers the business and personalities of the film industry. Next to him is Simon Bowie. He is an assignment editor at the Viacom-owned KCAL-9 KCBS-2 television stations. Next to him is Martha Flores. Before joining the Metro editing staff of the LA Times, she worked for the Dallas Morning News. Welcome, and thank you all for coming.
Gay activist and the father of outing, Michelangelo Signorelli, recently tried to out Congressman David Dreyer during a radio interview. Radio veteran Mike Linder had a problem with that.
Hypocrisy is in the mind of the beholder. What if Dreyer had a long-term plan that would inevitably lead to federal recognition of gay marriages, but being an experienced politician knows that it's going to take a matter of time, that there are obstacles to overcome, and as someone who has measured the public response and the way the public is moving, decides that he's going to take things one step at a time. If that's not fast enough for a Michelangelo Signorelli, then he's simply being second-guessed.
But Simon Bowie thought, whether it's Schrock, Dreyer, or any other politician, the voters have a right to know.
Maybe it's naive, but people actually do want to vote for politicians because they actually believe what is on the surface. They believe the bill of goods that's sold. Ed Schrock didn't campaign as a closeted gay politician that happens to be married and is going to put on the facade of a straight life and going to vote anti-gay, but he's going to secretly have, you know, sexual relations in the background. But I do think if a person is married and they're selling a bill of goods to their constituents, I think it's a more legitimate question for the people that are voting for them than necessarily is a gay issue of why are you lying to the people that are voting for you.
Sean Smith saw both sides of the issue.
I think there's a difference between the ruthlessness of being a dogged, aggressive reporter and being cruel to someone. And it depends greatly on whether or not truly, aside from your own beliefs on sexuality or your own sexuality, whether truly someone's sexuality is in fact relevant to whatever the topic is. And it's not that I think that, I'm sure that Schrock and Dreyer have all kinds of personal issues, but that's not the point. The point is, how do they stand on the issues? How are they voting? Are they on the right side of, or the left side, depending, on these issues from our perspective? And I think it's also this, and what bothers me about outing in general is if the goal is to better the impression or the understanding of gay people in society, that doing that, forcing someone out of the closet, takes away all the power of coming out. The difference between a declaration and an admission, admitting you're gay versus declaring it, is different. And especially that older generation of men, I think it's really hard to sort of guess what is going on, you know? I find it hard to imagine anybody in their 30s not being out of the closet. But it's easy for me to understand why someone in the 60s or 70s would not be.
Martha Flores took exception to the assumption of a shared gay agenda.
The other implication that's being made by criticizing or attacking conservative Republican who might be closetedly gay is that all gays should think alike and all gays should vote the same way. And that's like attacking a conservative black for not supporting affirmative action programs. It might have very little to do with the color of his skin. He may just have certain beliefs. And we can't assume that because he's gay, he is going to vote yes to every. And we shouldn't ask of that, not as journalists, not as mainstream journalists. I think, you know, for gay weeklies and gay magazines and gay websites, they do have a different directive. But for mainstream media, we can report fairly and accurately what they vote on and how they vote. But to make those kind of implications that, well, he's voting against, you know, gay rights because he's closetedly gay, I don't think you can make that link, and I don't think it's germane.
Mike Linder noted that an enthusiastic blogger had recently even outed an office staff member who worked for a homophobic politician.
I think there are sub rosa reasons happening in a lot of these cases that have absolutely nothing to do with journalism. And when a guy crosses his own line of what he says is high-minded outing and busts some guy who's living on DuPont Circle simply because he works for a homophobe is absolutely reprehensible. This stuff is beginning to smack of McCarthyism. And we just go down the line, you know? Were you or have you ever been a member of the homosexual party? Where does it stop?
And was it the white party or the black party?
The panel was scheduled for only 1 hour and ran nearly two as audience members from Lambda Legal, GLAAD, the LA Press Club, and the community quizzed and questioned. Outing politicians we don't like is a slippery slope. How do you define the we? Is hypocrisy itself fair game for a news story? The evening concluded with more questions, but life is messy. Sometimes there are many answers. I'm Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
We're in the closet, in positions of power, doing the dance on thin ice. Deal with the devil, to be heroes for an hour. How long must we pay the price? It's time to think twice.
This is Armistead Maupin, author of Tales of the City. And you're listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
A pop-inspired home ensemble, an assisted acoustic artist, and an ethereal traveler from darkness into light are the marvelous musicians featured in this month's audiophile.
Do 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 do, ba do do do.
Back again.
Once you back again.
Captain Smarty Pants is the name of a small ensemble of the Seattle Men's Chorus. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. And the new album by Captain Smarty Pants is packed full of delightful cover versions, as arranged by their director, Eric Lane Barnes.
Captain Smarty Pants is a vocal ensemble of 9 homosexual men, and we've been described as the illegitimate love child of NSYNC and Monty Python. And we pride ourselves in making delicious harmony and making audiences sick with laughter at the same time. We recently put out a CD called Undercover. It's gay on one hand, but on the other hand, it's just fun pop music. But I guess it's okay to be fun and pop and gay all at the same time.
Find out more about Captain Smarty Pants and their album Undercover at www.captainsmartypants.com.
The latest album by acoustic folk artist Ellis is called Evidence of Joy.
Charming everyone who comes around. Beautiful like the stars hanging over our heads. With you I forget all my frowning, it's true. My feet are so light, and baby, I've got heavy shoes. I've got a thing for you.
The album is a live recording, and it was done with a rather unique approach.
Evidence of Joy is a different album for me, and I'll tell you why. It's because we put out a call to fans to help produce the CD and ended up choosing 8 people to help work on the CD and pick the songs with us, to help pick the order, to help pick the title and the artwork. I mean, the whole CD is a collaborative effort. I couldn't have made a better album myself, a better live album.
Oh, my dear child, don't you oh, you got so much history that will carry you around. Remember that blue ocean in the back of your view. Oh, that big body of motion is there to hold.
You can learn more about the album Evidence of Joy by Ellis at www.rubberneckrecords.com.
The second album by Sasha Sackett is called Shadowed, and it's both a journey through darkness and a lush fusion of his unique voice with textured layers of piano, strings, acoustic, and electronica.
They all combine into a beauty that emerges somehow ethereal and comforting, full of faith and light.
This album, I've found myself describing it more as romantic, I suppose. The subject matter and my approach with Shadowed was I wanted to go to darker places, but I think that what happened was the faith kind of became the light on the album.
Still stay here, I'll kill this cat. Don't you worry.
Find out more about the album Shadowed by Sasha Sackett at www.sashasackett.com. That's www.sashasackett.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trenton. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson, reminding you that we're counting down the days to our annual Audiophile Year in Review, coming the last week of December here on This Way Out. Keep listening.
Next time on This Way Out, you'll hear the audio diary kept by one of the activists on the recent U.S. marriage equality caravan, and the experiences and heartfelt stories of several other writers as they traverse the American heartland. That's next time on a very special edition of This Way Out. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Rick Watts, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, Steve Pride, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Romanofsky and Phillips performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. This Way Out is primarily supported by tax-deductible charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. Our listeners help keep this program on the air and get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs as a bonus. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KGNU, Boulder, Fort Collins, and Ward, Colorado, WDFH, Ossining, New York, 3PVR, Mill Park, Victoria, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we'll be thankful if you stay tuned.